Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Andy and Brian Kamenetsky. We are doing the send-off for your guys' week with the three of us. Big news coming out of this one, right? That the Celtics had to get everybody back into the game late in the fourth quarter. That's the big news to come out of this one, right, Brian?
I believe that is what it was. The Celtics bench damn near blew a gigantic lead. Jaylen Brown came in. I had to return Marcus Smart as well. And the look that Jaylen Brown gave his teammates when he set up, like, you bleepers. Like, he's got a bad knee.
Yeah.
He's fine. And like, oh my God, like that should be a meme. But anyway, no, that is not the big story of the day, Anthony. And you know it.
It was that the Lakers didn't unveil their banner, right?
No,
Andy, that's not it either.
Let's get right to it. Uncle David's listening.
I've read the handbook. As a new employee, I've read the handbook. Anthony.
Abraham
this
Lincoln
is not how it's supposed
died
to be done.
Is the big news, right? Today's big news is that Anthony Davis is on the mend. I am quoting from Frank Vogel. Quote, he was evaluated again upon return from this trip, and he has been cleared for full on-court activity. Full practice, anything we want to do with him to begin his full ramp up and return to play. All the court work he's been doing to this point has been to get him to be fully cleared to participate in full practice. The good news there, though, is that, like, you know, obviously the Lakers are going to be practicing ASAP, right, to get him right back into the game shape.
Yeah, one of the first things, Andy, they put out was that there will be no practice on Friday because the Lakers have no players. I mean, it's very difficult to practice when you don't have any players. They play the Jazz on Sunday and again on Monday. Saturday and again on Monday. And Andy, they just don't have enough dudes to practice. So thankfully, it doesn't seem like, you know, they got to get three or four practices in for AD before he can play again. Because were that the case, we'd see him next year.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten the sense for a while that the reason that it's taken so long for AD to come back, and Frank Vogel touched on this before the game as well, it hasn't been that there have been setbacks. I think they've really been looking to get him to a point where it doesn't really require as much of a ramping up period, where basically once he is deemed ready to start doing like contact practices, which is where he's at now, they can really start to look to get him back on the court during a game as soon as possible. Like, Vogel left the door slightly open for the possibility of him playing in either of the Utah games. He said it's unlikely, but for whatever it is worth, Frank Vogel said that Dennis Schroeder was doubtful to play against the Celtics because of the foot infection that he's dealing with, which is just bizarre. And we're going to talk about that among other things later on in terms of injuries, but Schroeder ended up playing. So I do think that at least there is a possibility that Davis could end up playing, but either way, we now know he is definitively close. And that's a really big deal for this team.
Yeah. To just read again from what Vogel was saying, obviously he's not playing tonight. He said before the game, it's unlikely he plays in the two Utah games, again, to use your verbiage, unlikely, but he said it was unlikely that Schroeder was going to play, but not out of the question. And we'll see over the next few days, hopefully he's available after that, which the games after that are two games back to back against Dallas, which might solidify where the Lakers stand and, you know, potentially move them completely out of that play-in game. I would imagine that he probably is available for those games. The question then becomes, like, to what extent, you know, if he's available, what are we looking at?
Andy and I had this debate on our previous incarnation of the podcast a lot about how much of a limitation there would be on him. And this was also at a time when I think, you know, the assumption might be that he'd miss, you know, 10 games, you know, 12 games, 15 games, not 26, I think, or whatever it is. I think, I think the Celtics game on Thursday was 26 in a row, something like that. Vogel said that they're going to ramp it up, you know, it would be 15-minute bursts. I think he meant by that, you know, two or three runs every game that add up to 15 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes for those first couple games. But that makes sense. I mean, when a guy misses this many games and you don't have the ability to practice, you do have to make sure that when you put them out into game action, that, you know, you get a day to see, make sure that they respond well, that there's no residual soreness that shouldn't be there. So, I mean, it does seem like if he can go full speed for whatever they want him to do on the court and gets through a couple of games of relatively limited minutes after that, it should be something or could be something a little bit closer to what we're used to. They'll still be careful, though. I can't imagine they won't be cautious, particularly if they can put themselves in a position, like you say, Anthony, where they're not going to be threatened by that play-in game.
The question becomes also, does this end my Andre Drummond nightmare, right? Like, is this it? Do we get to...
No. They're going to be playing Anthony Davis and Andre Drummond.
Like, they're
going to
cut together. Him? Like, what? Like, what's the end game here?
I don't know, man.
Is it not enough that you went before Thursday's game and stomped on the man's toe just to get him out?
All the way from Texas, flew back home, hopped out of the plane onto Drummond's foot, hopped right back onto the plane. And hit
why
right
is Avery going to state school? Because the college fund is already gone.
Because Drummond is suing daddy. But the rotation does get complicated though, right? Like Marcus all played last night and played really, really well, knocked down 3 of 4 from 3-point range with 9 of his 10 fingers. Basically he performed better with 9 of his 10 fingers than Andre Drummond has performed with 9 of his 10 toes.
It doesn't get complicated, Anthony. Marc Gasol doesn't play. Like, there's Gasol nothing doesn't play. About this.
Marcus Morris doesn't.
Yeah. This is
like, there's nothing complicated because the plan is, I mean, and really, I think you need to accept this because this is the way things are moving forward.
It's never, you guys are going to learn this. I don't accept things like this.
It's sunk in. We get it. But I mean, the plan is to have Andre Drummond as the starting 5, AD as the starting 4. You have to give them minutes together in order to make this work. You know, Marc Gasol played really well against Boston, but here's the irony. They needed that type of offensive output from him, that type of aggression, that type of looking for a shot all season. If he had been doing that all season, they might not have been hell-bent on getting Drummond in the first place.
It's also worth pointing out they got waxed.
Yeah.
the game was an 8-point
game. I realize
at the
now,
end.
Anthony, you're going to blame Andre Drummond for having Marc Gasol on the court and them not
obviously
being able to plot a win.
He was a minus 13. I mean, they made the big comeback with McLemore, THT, McKinney, Antetokounmpo, and Kaycock on the floor.
But the thing with AD,
are those guys better than Andre Drummond?
With AD out there, though, I think you're going to see a better version of Drummond because you're not going to be asking as much of him. I mean, like, yeah, over this period without Anthony Davis, like, we've just seen how much they need an offensive focal point because Andre Drummond, Kyle Kuzma, Dennis Schroeder,
Montrezl,
these guys should not be your number one option. Like, none of them are meant to be. They're all meant to be third, fourth, maybe fifth options, which isn't an insult against any of them. Like, if you are the third, fourth, fifth option on a quality team, you're good. Kyle Kuzma demonstrated the importance of that last year when they won a championship. Mm-hmm. But if any of these guys are the focal point of an offense, your offense isn't going to be very good. So just having AD there is going to bring out better versions of everybody, including, believe it or not, Andre Drummond.
Fine. Let's go ahead and take a quick second here. When we come back, we got to discuss the scene of tonight's game. Fans are back in Staples Center for the first time all year. The banner was not unveiled to my disliking. And the Lakers, again, forced the Celtics to bring their starters back in. And you know what? At this point, given how the way this season has gone, I'm accepting moral victories. I'm taking them. You Celtics fans out there, you can't take that from me. So I'm going to take that one. We'll get to all that here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use that promo code Locked On, and you will save 20% off your next order. Not your first, your next. So however often you go to the website and you make a purchase, use that promo code Locked On, and you're going to save 20% off. And you're saving 20% off on an incredible product. We've been working with these guys forever now, and it is the kind of partnership you're really proud of, not just because of the ability that we've been able to work together, but also because of how great the product itself is and how easy it is to sell. I've told my family about it, close friends back home, friends that I've made out here. I personally use it almost every day. Basically, I would probably say I'm closer to every day than anything else, any other way you could describe this thing. It's great for me because I'm always on the go, always have some errand to run or something to ride or something like that. Avery got into some kind of trash or something, so I have to clean up and don't have enough time to eat a full meal. Built Bar has been great with that. I've lost weight since we've started working with them because it's a super healthy bar. Great flavors, great textures, just an all-around fantastic product. So one more time, head on over to builtbar.com. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to save 20% off your next order. BuiltBar.com, the best protein bar you'll ever eat. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today in a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest news stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. Can I just say how much I enjoyed not hearing as much of the tinny, echoey fan noise that they've been trying to force upon us this year? Like, it was just so nice to actually hear the natural roar of a crowd or the low points of a crowd as the Lakers, you know, the game opened up and the Lakers were down by 27 points and it actually sounded like they were down by 27 points. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the fact that I didn't hear some fake while they were down, while you would normally hear the Staples Center sound like a library.
So you prefer,
I mean, honestly, I couldn't tell the difference. I couldn't. I couldn't.
Anthony prefers the organic, real sound of a crowd and its fan base totally deflated, watching its team getting its ass kicked. He doesn't want a fake version of it.
Exactly.
He wants the raw and the real.
Exactly. Because it just feels so wrong where a team is down by 27 points. And we've been seeing it all year. We've been seeing it now for more than a year. Right, where some team is down by like 30 or 40 and TNT and ESPN are still acting as if the crowd would be at the edge of their seats and reacting to every single bounce of the basketball. It was nice when the Lakers got down by enough points that it sounded like they were down by enough points. And then also when they made their kind of crazy comeback, it sounded like a crazy comeback because you need the low point to recognize the high points. That's why I enjoyed about tonight. It's the little things. I do a daily podcast, man. I gotta notice the tiny little things.
I'm excited. I am excited, and I think what sticks out is, look, I mean, the idea that 1,800 people would be at a Laker game, and players and coaches and everybody would be incredibly stoked, is kind of amazing. I mean, 1,800 yeah. people, you know, that's a Hornets game, maybe. But that's not, you know, it's a Marlins game, but it's not
a
Lakers
dinner theater. I mean, that's a really small crowd.
Yeah.
But like when you've played in front of nobody, 1,800 people is a ton and you can feel the energy and you can just, it shows how much the players really do care about having people in the building. I mean, Andy, we've talked about this a lot, like where, you know, fans often do, I think, get confused about, like, players sometimes don't care as much about stuff with their teams and their leagues as you do as a fan, but they want the people in the building. And this is just a great example of that.
Remember last year when we were reaching the point, it was like two or three games before the season ended up getting postponed. Like, we started hearing reports about the possibility of the season being played out, but there being no fans in the building. And before he had the full context of what he was being asked, LeBron said he wouldn't play like in games yeah. that they didn't have fans at all. And then I think he came to recognize what he was really being asked about. And he said, well, obviously I'm going to end up playing these games. I like playing for fans. I mean, if you know, all these guys, but especially if you're somebody at, you know, at the level of LeBron or the way Kobe was, or, you know, true superstars, you're an entertainer as much yep. as you're an athlete. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you recognize the fact that you are literally putting on a show. So when you don't have that show element there, whether it's for fans who adore you or the opposing crowd that's booing their asses off at you, either way, you feed off that. Like, there's something that you gain from that. And these guys have been missing it all season. You know, I mean, especially a team like the Lakers that have dealt all year with their building being empty. You know, I mean, some of these buildings across the league, they've had limited capacity, some degree of fans in there. The Lakers, every time they're in their home arena, it has just been a ghost town. It's been the equivalent of, like, in the media section, you're not supposed to be cheering. You're not supposed to be really reacting to anything. Mm-hmm. It's as if you were playing a game for nothing other than members.
Being in the building earlier in the year, it was weird. It was. I wanted to see what it was like. And it was genuinely weird.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It was not pleasant. It wasn't something that, you know, I think anybody particularly liked. And the experience is not good. And so, you know, again, 1,900 people seems like a full house when you've been playing in front of nobody for a year.
Have you guys ever cheered in the, like, have you ever found yourself clapping or reacting? Like, you know, I know you guys were kind of in that weird in between, not hardcore journalists, but also obviously not quite like
that's not hurtful at all, Anthony.
Because you guys were the LA Times blog. Like, that's what I enjoyed about you guys' coverage, was that you did insert yourself into the story a little bit. Like, I enjoyed that aspect of it. So, like,
you were busy doing all that journalism stuff while you were covering the team.
I forgot I was recording. I gotta talk to David about how much he's paying miniature Woges.
I think I understand what you mean.
Yeah. No, but when you guys were, because I don't know, I've always approached, or I've always enjoyed your guys' approach to sports, where it's not this cathedral. It's not this, you know, buttoned up thing that everybody has to be, wear your fedora to.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's still what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Like, here's where I would say it. I am a bigger Laker fan, like, in real life, than mm-hmm. Brian is. Like,
IRL, as the kids say.
Right. So for me, like, there is more, you know, everybody in the press box, or, you know, the press seating area, when something incredible happens, we may react like a whoa, or, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. But
the Kuz dunk the other night, everybody in the press would have gone, whoa, you know, like, yeah. We're not automatons.
Right. But what you don't do is, like, stand up in your seat, pump your fist, yell, something like that. But what I will tell you, what I've often done,
start talking to the other beat reporters, right?
Right, exactly. Like, you know, or order a round of shots for the section, something like, you know, obviously you don't do that. But what I have done before as a Laker fan, you know, as somebody who's been in the building, you know, for finals games and things like that, or, you know, like, huge shots from Kobe, huge shots from LeBron, things like that, I'll do a fist pump under the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know,
something like that.
And Andy is also, Andy's conveniently ignoring the week he spent in 2014 with a purple, half gold suit that he wore to every game, calling himself Laker Andy.
Yeah. So
there was that.
Well, cause
that,
like,
was a little over the top.
The lines have really blurred, though, right? With journalism, and, you know, with people who are fans of the teams that they're covering, and with bloggers becoming more and more involved with all of this. Like, it is just different now. And I'm just kind of curious with you guys, you know, being at some point, I would imagine, Lakers fans, like, if that has ever kind of taken over you in the moment of, like, holy crap, what we just saw was incredible. Like, during Kobe's last game,
okay,
there's no way I would have been a freaking, like, buttoned up journalist.
But that's not, I don't look at that as a Laker fan. Like, oh my God, Kobe's doing this for the Lakers. Like, you're excited to watch it because it's an amazing moment to witness as a sports fan, as a human being, to see this thing unfolding in front of you. It was less of, you know, that's not so much a fan thing as just an appreciation of what that was.
So, I mean, you were up on your seat ordering shots, is what you're saying.
I was like, woo, 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 woo. Woo! You know, but I wasn't excited. Yeah. I mean, thank God they beat the Jazz in the last game of the season for win. What was that, like, in 18?
I mean, 17.
Yeah.
17. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I mean, but, like, you get excited by moments like that because you're in the build. I do, because you're in the building and you get to see them. Mm-hmm. You become fans of, and you have connections to people on the team, to players, so you want to see good things happen to them. And I'll be honest, like, when we were with 7-10, we used to get all the time, like, you guys love it when the Lakers suck. Like, so you can bag it, like, what are you bleeping kidding me? Where do we work? Like, bad right. Lakers is bad for us. People lose their jobs because we don't have a good team. Of course I want the Lakers to win. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, that was always something that I found interesting. I've been credentialed on one or two occasions, and I, I wasn't there. I didn't show up in like Lakers attire or anything like that, but I did. If I was ever kind of surrounded by journalists, and I know for Dodgers games too, I would do some of those, and something crazy would happen. I remember it was Bellinger's rookie year and he hit a homer, and I was just like, oh, nope, I got it. I'm just going to sit here and act like nothing happened. Not a thing happened. Not the super exciting block off homer. Nothing happened. And I just, it's a weird dynamic.
I've had to catch myself a couple times when Kobe hit that shot in 2006 in the first round against Phoenix, that game winner. I had to kind of catch myself from standing up. There is one time though, I remember that I reacted as a fan because of where we were stationed for that particular game. We were in one of the press. We were in sort of one of the press box, like one of the press boxes in Staples. And it was just me and ESPN LA colleagues, and nobody from like media relations could have seen where we were. When our test had that put back in 2010 against Phoenix, to win that game, I jumped up for that one. I actually did, but that one nobody could see. Yeah. There is a certain degree of who's around you, like how visible are you? But just because you're not up and down screaming doesn't mean you don't care. But again, you are there for a particular reason.
Wonder if anybody ever like overcompensates and starts booing the really cool moment. It's just like
that's much. That's too much.
All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we're gonna play a game. The Lakers injury report has gotten so long and so ridiculous that we're going to react to the various injuries with how we think our bodies would react to them, and send you guys off with a little bit of dark humor, but humor nonetheless. So we'll come back to that here in a bit. Today's show is brought to you in part by Bet Online. Head on over to Bet Online, use that promo code Locked On for a 50% deposit bonus. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are all in full swing. Bet Online even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine can also be found at betonline.ag, and also the Twitter account @betonline_ag. BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best place to place all your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head on over to betonline.ag, use that promo code LOCKEDON, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook experts. BetOnline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. When you need fantasy basketball advice, it's important that you have a reliable source. More people trust Josh Lloyd, host of Locked On Fantasy Basketball, than any other fantasy basketball podcast. Subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get podcasts. All right, so the Lakers injury report, I was thinking about this during the game. It's easier to list players who don't have injuries right now than anybody who is any kind of malady or injury or bumper or bruise. And so what we're going to do is we have their report here in front of us. We have the various terminologies that we used or that are being used for guys. And we'll just start with Marc Gasol, since that was already used earlier in the game or earlier in the show. And he has a volar fracture of his pinky finger. And I'm kind of curious, if you guys, I'll start with you, Brian, if you had to rank that one owie to 10 owies being like excruciating pain, one being like, it sucks, but I'll just deal with it.
Here's the thing. That's a, it's the, it's a two on the grand scheme. That's a 2-hour injury. But getting the process that got him there is like a 6. Because don't forget, he dislocated it during the game and then popped it back in, which is a boss move, but it hurts.
You know what, though? I have dislocated a finger before, and I didn't find it that painful. Mm-mm. Like, either the process of dislocating, it looks weird. It looks, on a scale of 1 to 10 for disgusting, it's like a 12.
Yeah.
But in terms of the actual pain involved, at least in my case, I dislocated a finger in high school football. I didn't find it that painful when it happened. I didn't find it that painful, actually, when they popped it back in. It was gross and kind of scary because I'm trusting this to a high school football coach / science teacher to do this.
He's a man of science. So
I was a little, and it was on my dominant hand. It was on my right hand. I was a little worried, like, am I ever going to be able to write again? You know, like this, you know, pseudo doctor's doing it. But that aside, I'm giving it a 3 all the way around. I don't think.
Sure.
I don't think it's that painful.
I broke my nose once playing rugby in college in Fort Campbell. And we were playing the Fort Campbell, like, army game, like their team. And I broke my nose and I went to the medical tent or whatever. And the guy was like, well, you know, I can just pop that back in for you, or you can go ahead and wait until you get back to Nashville. I said, no disrespect, sir. I'm going to go ahead and wait until I get back to Nashville for that.
Yeah, I broke my nose too. A doctor told me, like, hey, you're going to be perfectly fine if we don't touch it at all. Your nose is going to be crooked, but otherwise you're going to be fine. Or we could go back in and re-break it and reshape it, and it'll look normal from that point on. And I was like, you know what? I'll deal with a crooked nose.
I had mine put back because they're like, it was, I had what they call in the, you know, the Southern Hemisphere or the rugby playing countries, a smashed face.
Oh,
I had them put it back.
Technical.
And then, so you wear like the thing on your nose, you got to set it, but like, and when it takes us, so it's like, oh, did you have a nose job?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I chose this. I settled on make it bigger. Like, what the hell is wrong with you people? No, I did not have a nose job. Come on.
All right, the next one, the next injury here. Dennis Schroeder has an infected foot. I'll start with you, Brian. You can go first again.
At the risk of not knowing the infection?
I mean, just like, that's like general terminology.
That just sounds gross. Like, that isn't infected anything, sounds gross. I'm picturing some sort of green pus coming out of something or somewhere. It's unpleasant. And you got to walk on that? No, that's a 7 or an 8.
Oh, I think that's a 9, man. That's got to be so uncomfortable. Like, think about any time you have a cut of any sort and you put like peroxide on it because you know it's going to be getting a little bit bit infected. And that stings with no pressure on it whatsoever. That can be super uncomfortable.
Yeah,
having to actually run on that thing—that's
like
a 9. That's going to be awful.
Yeah, I had a we went to Lake Havasu and I stepped on a piece of glass and then like went in the water, and Lake Havasu water is known far and wide for how clean it is, you know. And so we got back and my foot was just a mess, and you know, it's hard to walk on it. You feel like every time you walk on it, you feel like your foot's actually going to explode. Like, it's just
Schroeder,
it's just
looked
brutal
in this game against Boston, and you know, credit to him for really trying to get through it. He looked like a guy playing infected foot.
He played like one. Yeah.
He played like an infected foot.
And this, by the way, is to this day is why Anthony's foot has 17 toes on it.
Yeah. Well, I offered one to Drummond and he declined. We'll go there next though. We'll stay in the foot area, and Andre Drummond's missing toenail that apparently got stepped on recently. We'll start with you this time, Andy.
That's a bleep, man. That's, that is at least an 8. That could be moving into a 9. When you're playing sports, you use your toe for everything.
Especially your big
and
toe.
Without that nail, that is just, it's basically, I think it feels a lot like an infected foot just in your toe. That sounds super.
I've done it. I've lost my toenail before. Same. It sucks. It hurts. And like, no, that's a bad one. It's a bad one.
The worst part about it is it healing is this toenail like crawling across the bed, you know, and that's it healing. That's when it's like supposed to be feeling better. And at any time, by the way, it can fall off all over again because it's this tiny little nub of a toenail.
Especially when you play basketball and your foot gets stepped on constantly. Like, this is going to be something Drummond's going to be dealing with all season, you know, as painful as Anthony's assessments of him.
Yeah, I would. it just seems like just a really brutal, and also annoying. Like, the other thing too, I did it when I was super young, but even when it felt good, it always felt weird. Like, it never quite felt like a typical toe. Oh, sure. Because it's just, you know, it's never quite right. Brian, are you going where, I mean, you've had the experience that you can really recall. So where are you going on the scale of 1 to 10?
It's at least an 8. You can't do, the only thing that separates us from the animals are thumbs and toes, big toes and thumbs. That's it. Otherwise, yeah, we're useless.
I mean, some are still useless even with the thumb and a toe, but all right, last one here, that, you know, that aren't, because, you know, LeBron high ankle sprain, like, obviously that would,
that's
really
10
hurt.
LeBron, you know, has never missed this many games. That's,
yeah,
10, clearly.
right. Anthony Davis and his injury, you know, that's probably, you know, pretty uncomfortable. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope,
probably pretty uncomfortable.
I would imagine. Well, the thing with AD though, remember, was that he, you know, they said they were trying to rest him, but it's not good for that to rest. So I think that would actually make it more uncomfortable, in that it's the kind of thing that you want to rest. You feel like you should rest, but you actually have to keep in motion. That to me sounds like the definition of discomfort is I want to be still and I have to move. Like, that would be, I mean, which is just my current state, but still. All right, last one here on the list, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope dealing with back spasms. This is another one that I have some history with, and it's unpleasant, to say the least.
It's a range. This is a range. This is anywhere from a 2 to a 9. Mm-hmm. There are back spasms that you can get through that are irritating, and there are back spasms that literally leave you on the floor because you can't go anywhere. So just, I would call this a range. KCP came back in the game. So, I mean, obviously his weren't that bad.
I mean, KCP, just, if nothing else, say whatever you will about him as a player. Yeah. That guy is durable. Like, it takes a lot to get him out of a game. I'm somebody who deals with intermittent back issues, sometimes back spasms. I remember one time when my daughter was still an infant, I got back from a Laker game and it was super late. And I knew my wife had been having a difficult day with the baby, and I was going to go. I heard the baby start crying and I was like, all right, I'm going to deal with it. Even though I just got home, it's like 2 a.m. I want her to have to get up. And right as I started to go deal with her, my back locked up.
Ooh.
And I could not move. I literally crawled from the bedroom to the kitchen to get the breast milk in the refrigerator, like, pulled myself
up on
the refrigerator to grab the bottle, then crawled back to her room, like, grabbed the crib, pulled myself up.
Go on without me.
Very, very.
Your daughter is probably like, oh my goodness.
Very, very incredibly, like,
this is what
gently,
I have to look forward to, huh?
Slowly, carefully picked up my daughter, very carefully sat myself in the rocking chair with the boppy, gave her the bottle, and I could not move for like the next several hours. Like, when your back starts locking up, man, there is nothing you can do.
Yeah.
At all.
I mean, because it's your body literally stabilizing you. You know, it feels like it is, for whatever reason, completely out of whack. And it's just, you just have to stay still right now, man. And I can, I had the same kind of, I was younger and I went down to go into a crossover and the ball just bounced away. Like, it was just, and I'm stuck. So do you guys recall, like, the last time that a pain,
young,
like,
and I tried my killer crossover?
No, I didn't say killer. It was killer on me. Like, it was, it was but do you guys remember the last time, like, a pain brought you to tears?
Yeah, it's one of my back. Yeah, that happens. I mean, to tears, but, like, you know, I'm not sure I've ever had one that, I mean, the smash face, actually the smash face, when well, you, cause you tear up, when things hit you in the face, you automatically tear up. Like nothing makes me, no, I've never had an injury that made me stop, want to stop doing the thing that I was doing.
Yeah.
More than that. Like I've had injuries where you can't do the thing that you want to do. You turn your ankle, you remember that Steve Blake thing where he popped the rib cartilage or whatever, and he came back in like a week. It's like the toughest thing I've ever seen an athlete do. I did. Mm-hmm. It's another thing that I've done. I couldn't breathe for 6 weeks. Like yeah. I wanted to kind of like, oh, I keep it. Nope. I can't do the thing.
Yep.
I got popped in the face a couple times playing rugby, and you're just like, that's it. I'm done. I do not want to keep playing. You know, this, I just got hit in the eye and I'm done. I want to go home now. Like yeah. that made me want to stop more than anything that I've ever done. I have tears. I don't know. But in terms of like, I quit moments, anything yeah. that hits you in the face.
Yeah.
I'd make a terrible boxer.
I know like playing baseball, the thing that like made me the most angry was fouling a ball off of my foot. Like it happens for whatever reason. Every time you do it once, you know you're going to do it at least two or three more times, like in that session. And so on that second and let alone third time, it's just throw your bat, walk out of there.
Some of us weren't terrible hitters, Anthony. So that wasn't the problem.
Well, not all of them. I mean, some
that
of us
seems more like
pitch.
A you thing than in every, like, I don't think that's universal. Like Cody Bellinger fouls one ball off his foot. And he's like, I got to go now. The next four are going off my foot. I don't think that's how that works. I think you might not have been very good.
It was me and Willie Mays Hayes where he just kept fouling the ball up and hitting him top of the head. Yeah, that was my experience. All right. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, Anthony Davis coming back. Lakers lose to the Celtics. The Lakers welcome fans into the arena again. So that was, you know, some bright spots despite losing the way that the Lakers did. We'll be back again Sunday. Get your questions into iTunes so that the three of us can answer them on Sunday for Monday's episode. Until then, have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you on Monday.